I am Nader Hagigipur. I'm a professor of astronomy at the Institute for Astronomy at the University of Hawaii in Manoa. My research is primarily on detecting, characterizing, and understanding the formation and evolution of planets similar to our Earth. We call them Earth-like planets, and especially those who could be potential for harboring life. We are trying to find is, first we try to identify the planet, then we try to find or calculate its radius. Either we'll calculate that through our modeling, or we get that directly from our observations. Once we have the radius, then we can determine whether the size of the planet is close to Earth or much larger. And then we sift out those that are that have sizes close to Earth. And then we look for the actual distance of those planets from their host stars. We don't want those planets to be too close to the stars, so the light that comes from a star is too intense and it vaporizes water. We don't want the planets to be too far away from the star, so the light is not hot enough to melt the ice, so the whole planet becomes one ice ball. We want the planet to be in between. We call that region a habitable zone, and in a very, very naive way, is a region that the heat from this star allows water to stay liquid on the surface of the planet. And then that way, we throw out all those that are too close or too far, and then keep the ones that have size similar to Earth and at that right distance. And then we try to study their orbits. They try to study their characteristic as far as how big or small they are, whether they have atmosphere or not, what is in their atmosphere. And from all that information, we extract the possibility whether they can be potential places for appearance and evolution of life. We started with over 4,000 stars. And as you can imagine, these are stars that were targeted by Kepler telescope. It took us about 3 years to identify those that have planets. And then sift out the ones that don't have planets and keep the ones with planets, and then among those that have planets, determine the ones that have a small planets, and from those that have a small planets, determine the ones that the planets is in right place, right distance from the star, and all that. The whole thing took over 3 years. And finally, we came up with a catalog of 20 of them that are the most promising one for probably hosting life. The most important next step would be to follow up on these candidates and understand their characteristics much better. At the moment, what we have is their distance from the star, their sizes, and a naive handle on the internal density. You see, the internal density is very important because that determines whether the planet is rocky or, like Jupiter, it is mostly gas. We want the planet to be rocky like Earth. Our Earth is a rocky planet and has only a small amount of water. And that is the characteristics of an Earth analog. And once you find something similar to that, then you can say that this planet may be a place of a birthplace for life. So we are looking at planets that are rocky, and in order to be able to say with certainty that a planet is Earth analog, we have to get a good handle on the density. Now, to get the density, internal density of the planet, we need to have its volume and its mass. Both these two come from require much more detailed observation. To get the mass, we have no choice but to use ground-based telescopes. To get the radius, we have to follow up on the candidates to get better understanding on their sizes. So the next step would be very most likely ground-based observation, follow-up on all these 20 candidates. And now here's an interesting thing. You know, the stars of these candidates are very faint. So even with the most powerful telescopes that we have, including Keck telescopes, we may not be able to get a good handle on the characteristic of these planets because the star light is very, very faint, and the signature that it sends to us may be get polluted by noise and all the all other stuff that exists in space, and as the light goes through the atmosphere. So even with the best telescope in the world, we may not be able to get a good handle on the size of these planets, which means that we need better and bigger telescopes. So a true answer to your question would be, if TMT is built and gets operational, that would be our next step. That is when we have the toy that we need to look into these 20 planets, to identify the characteristics, to identify the internal densities, and even say something about the characteristic of the atmospheres, and say with more certainty whether they are hospitable planet for life, or maybe even have life on them already. Once you find earthly life on other planets, the purpose of it is not to go there and colonize that place, or you go there, shake hands with extraterrestrial people living there. This answers one of the most fundamental questions, both in science and also in human philosophy, that it proves once and for all that Earth is not a unique place for life, the life exists all over the universe. Especially earthly life may exist all over the universe. And it tells us that our solar system, our sun, our planet, is not something special. You know, we and that the type of life that we have may exist everywhere, all over the universe. And like you said, it makes us less special, but it gives a broader context to the type of life that we have, and puts it in much bigger context of the entire universe rather than small, tiny planet that we are on.